Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
Look at John taking care of the work, the legwork. I saw that. And I scrambled back to my desk because I'm like, God damn it, I haven't started our cameras.
I haven't done the things I'm supposed to do.
I know, I'm jamming out over here. All right, you're listening to the official podcast of PHP Architect. This is episode 2025.09.25, and I'm one of your hosts, Eric Van Johnson, and with me is John Congdon.
That's me.
This is a podcast that focuses on PHP and web development, and we touch on the larger PHP community and the general life of being a developer. And of course, we're going to talk about our company, PHP Architect Magazine, the books, the conference, the merch. We record every Thursday around 3 p.m. Pacific time, so if you're not watching us live, you should. You can catch us live on YouTube at youtube.com/PHP Arch. I've only been doing this for like 20 years. Jesus Christ.
Way longer than that, my friend.
Greatest thing about that is, well, first thing, we might say hi to you like we're about to do for Chris Miller. Jeffrey Davison. I saw Duck Nizzle in there. I thought I saw somebody else. O-H-F-F-S. I still don't know how to best pronounce that. And you can be part of that live show in our Discord channel at discord.phparch.com. Podcast is made better thanks to our partners over at Honey Badger. Honey Badger helps you deploy with confidence and be your team DevOps hero. DevOps hero. combining error uptime and performance monitoring in one simple platform. I actually used Honey Badger like literally 20 minutes before the show started to track down an issue our customers were experiencing. So we're happy to have them as a partner because we use them. It's free to get started and set up only takes a few minutes. Be the hero your team needs. Suit up at honeybadger.io. We're going to talk more about them a little later. But before we do that, it's a special show. It's a special show, John.
It is special because I'm looking at the screen right now and Your camera spacing is way wider than my camera spacing.
Well, I put on a few pounds. Thanks for pointing that out. But yeah. No, this is the special Make-A-Wish podcast where a young lad who always wanted to be on a podcast, we bring him on. Who do we have here, John?
We'd like to welcome Jim Second. We can't both hit the button.
We can't both click it at the same time. This is why we don't have guests. Right there. Hey, how's it going?
Hi. I'm here to cause trouble.
Yes.
It's good to see both of you.
And, good to see you too.
It's greetings from a cold, wet island that is across the pond. I'm doing all right. You guys are very American and happy, aren't you?
No. This is just a lot of scotch get you there.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm drinking unfiltered Stella Artois at the moment, which is which I think
unfiltered ass water. What was that?
so one of the things I had to get used to with American conferences was you have like your beer menus are like domestic and then other, and domestic it kept on saying Stella Artois, and I'm like,
oh yeah,
that's from Belgium, and you all know that it's brewed by like Anheuser-Busch or whatever. we know that's like basically Michelob Ultra, but like with like some extra hops in it or something. The American beer scene I find fascinating.
So is the real stuff better than what we have over here? Because Stella. If it's there, I'll drink it, but it's not my go-to beer.
If you drink Stella Artois in Belgium, it's passable. It's okay. Bearing in mind, it's Belgium, so you know you're drinking sort of the sort of equivalent of not Foster's. You know, neither of you are Australian, so and also no one.
We don't Foster's. We have Foster's over here.
Yeah, we have Foster's. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. So it's the equivalent of having of basically having. You know, I want to say Bud Light. I had a Bud Light.
I'm sorry.
It was a PHP. It was in Nashville. It was at Laracon. It was at Laracon, Nashville, and I had a Bud Light just to say that I had a Bud Light, and it was brilliant because it was like fantastically disgusting. It didn't taste anything like it just like a just fizzy water. I know it's a PHP podcast. I genuinely do have loads of PHP stuff to talk about, but also I love going off road.
That's fine by us. And we know lots of PHP developers that drink beer, brew beer. We can talk about beer.
The most memorable experience with what I would describe as PHP beer was Omni at Longhorn, and Ian Littman had got the presidential suite of the Holiday Inn or something like that.
The after party of
Longhorn was up there, and Omni was like, "You like this? You like this? You want some more? Come on! Don't be a pussy, you Brit." And I'm like,
he's got some very, very strong beers.
I can't take any more of this. Please stop giving this to me.
He brews the beers I like to drink. I drink a lot of like imperial stouts that are 10, 11, 12%.
There's a Belgian beer bar around the corner from me. I see James stand up, and they put on sort of standard 8 to 10 imperial triples, things like that, and yeah, it's you have to know how to drink this stuff, because if you drink it like pints of Michelob Ultra, then you're in trouble.
I'm in trouble.
How about we give the people listening and watching, all seven of them, a little rundown on who you are?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question, because when this goes out as a podcast properly for everyone to re-listen to, then I will need to explain who I am, which I will do now. But ironically, the people that are in chat know who I am. Anyway, hello everyone. I'm Jim Second. My job title is very serious. I'm a senior developer advocate, and I work at Vonage. So I'm kind of you'd say the kind of PHP specialist. Effectively, I'm a PHP dev, right? That's what I do. I can go into some public information about funky stuff that I'm working with in Vonage specifically for the PHP community. But really, at the end of the day, I'm a writer for the blog, and I'm a speaker. When I say I'm a speaker, John has had the misfortune of attempting to film me at PHP Tech. I'm sorry. I did English literature and theatre at university, and I graduated with a sort of a major in acting with a dissertation in stand-up comedy, and then immediately decided to be a software engineer. So
because you realize comedy doesn't pay.
But and it's funny you say that, because I worked for 10 years at a fringe theatre in London, and yes, the stage doesn't pay unless you have connections, right? It's a total lottery. So I was like, hey, SQL business analysis testing, that pays. Going on stage and talking shit doesn't pay. And then you find out, really, at the end of the day, when you're 40 years old, that's not, when you're 35 years old, there's a specific job, and it involves software engineering and talking on stage and writing and networking, and it's all of these things together. And I'm like, oh, hey, right, I found my calling now. I just hope that there's always a space in PHP for this, because if there isn't, then I have to do all these things in JavaScript, and I don't want to do these things in JavaScript.
It is very fun. It is fun and entertaining to watch you speak about PHP at a PHP conference.
I'm glad
you sweat a lot,
and it's just entertaining.
I did the same talk that I did that you had to film at Tech. I'm sorry, at PHP UK in London, and it was a little bit scary, because it was like standing room only type thing, and it was in the second room. I thought no one was going to come to it, and because through the PHP UK team and also people like sort of Paul Dragunis had been on board, where they'd started kind of like really ramping up the marketing. They got the talk out on YouTube about 20 minutes after it was done. Uh-huh. And it became a hit. And people started watching it. And I've never had this. So then I've never experienced this. The internet started getting involved in what I was doing on stage. And there was like 1,300 hits on it. And then the internet meant that people's opinions started coming out. And I was like, I am not ready for this. And man, oh, the people either really enjoy it or they absolutely hate it. They absolutely hate the very fiber of my being and what I do. They're like, this guy's a joker. I learned nothing, and they're really grumpy with me. And I'm like,
but you're very upfront at the beginning, and you tell people why, like, what you're about to do. Like, it's not a secret. I think, and
with that specific talk, I did, but the talk I've just done, mm-hmm. which was at API Platform Conference. I've stopped giving people an intro. I just launch into it and do really mad engagement stuff at the start of it. I started telling jokes to myself in perfect French about how I'm crap at speaking French. And the audience were like, why is this guy saying he can't speak French? And then I delivered the talk in English, and they just didn't know what was going on. But I knew what was going on because I want their
side. So you know how to drive people crazy, and then people either love you or hate it for that.
Yeah, I think I'm like that. There's if to go into the kind of Laracon debate that happened, I think 2 years ago or last year, was about Marmite and Vegemite. Big debate about that. But the joke about Marmite is you either love it or hate it. If you don't know what it is, it's some sort of either delicious, I think it's delicious, or disgusting salt spread, which is a byproduct of brewing that you put on your toast for breakfast in the morning.
I think I've had some, and I don't think I loved it or hated it. I was just like, this is interesting.
I don't believe you.
Then maybe I didn't have it. the Artisan Returns over on YouTube is asking about our elephant backdrops. And I know Chris has already responded in Discord, but these fun little elephants, they're collector's items within the PHP community, created, 15, 20 years ago. And they just became collector's items, and you get them at conferences, or companies will create them as giveaway items. People trade them. It's a whole ecosystem unto itself.
There is
for sale kind on your merch store.
First of all, if you want one, what Eric says, obviously go and support Architect and go and buy one. There is, from a developer relations perspective of my job, that's my cat. Obviously, my cat. I'm in a meeting, so my cat wants to look. Here we go. Hello. Great, thanks. Say hello to the people. There we are. Hello. So, my team, some of them get a little bit grumpy with me because, really, the PHP official elephants are basically a cheater's way to get engagement or to get as competition prizes. The Android community has this specifically within Android and Kotlin, but it's nowhere near it's developer cocaine, effectively, for PHP developers. So my story for this is only comes from about 6 days ago. And I was speaking at API Platform Conference, which was in Lille in northern France. And that was the launch day for the latest one. And the latest one is designed by Kevin Douglands' company, L'Ecoutil or something like that. I'm going to pronounce it wrong. They're the creators of Franken PHP and API Platform. And the Franken PHP, unnamed elephant, but I have told them they should call it Shelley because Mary Shelley. I'm petitioning for that. Is
I like it.
Is insane. It's really customized. I can't show you one because I had to get rid of them out of my house because my son kept on. I bought one of the big ones, and now I realize that you just wanted an intro into regular. Here's a regular one. Here's Sorry, one. Here is the Datadog one. That came from Florian, who regularly speaks at PHP conferences worldwide. Mm-hmm. The Vonage one is called Alex. He's named after my son, who...
Aww.
Because he stole the prototype and wouldn't give it back. And so so the latest FrankenPHP one...
That was part of the negotiation.
I bought one of the oversized ones. And he started...
They're so expensive.
He started... But I had to. I could not.
I mean, I've got three of them.
I've only got two. I know that Chuck Reeves on my team has one of the architect oversized ones from years back.
Oh, the Archie? One of the Archies? Yeah.
He's got the big Archie. And so I had to take the FrankenPHP one. So I bought one of the oversized ones. The FrankenPHP one is like a monster, but it's because it's the new PHP runtime engine replacing FPM. But it's written in Go, which is like, which is what PHP to me is all about, is the innovation coming off the scene is nuts. It's so fast. It's ridiculous. I mean, they were going through benchmarks for it. I know that it's I was going to say that this is old news, but it's not actually it's ready for like production. It's like properly ready for production grade applications. And so this elephant is like really customized and wacky. And anyway, yeah, my son started riding it around the house and like a rocking horse. And so I had to remove it.
Okay, but, hold on. I need to interrupt for 1 minute here.
I do need interrupting from time to time. I'm sorry. I know you've invited me on as a guest, but we didn't know how this was going to go. But you know, I talk, right?
No. That's fine. Well, the thing is. In our Discord, the artist returns said, "But Erky can throw me one." I'm curious if I know this person, because that is a very deep cut for me. It's a very, very old nickname. I used to call my friends whatever their name was, with the like child way. Like my friend Hank, I called Hanky. My friend Doug, I called Dougie. They hated it. When by the time we got to high school, they despised it. And nobody could ever shorten my name. Like, my name's Eric. It doesn't get much shorter than that. And so my one friend started calling me Erky. And it's
LD.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus, LD. What are you doing here? Don't you have something better to do with yourself? Jesus. I was wondering when I saw it. There's only like three people in the world that know that name. And I was wondering how... if it was just a slip or something. Okay.
Yeah, I was wondering that same thing.
Before we get back into it, let's take a moment and hear from our sponsor or partner, Honey Badger.
When your app breaks in production, you want to quickly understand and fix it, not sift through logs for the next hour. That's where Honey Badger comes in. Honey Badger notifies you of errors, outages, and performance issues as they occur and helps you respond instantly when your systems go down. When you need to dig deeper, Honey Badger's advanced query engine helps you reach into your logs and grab just the information you need. With error tracking, performance and uptime monitoring, log management, and support for over 10 languages, Honey Badger is the best tool to gain real-time insights into your application's health and performance. Best of all, it's free to get started, and setup takes less than 5 minutes. Be sure to bookmark honeybadger.io. That's www.honeybadger.io.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honey Badger.
So yeah, great to hear from you. The LD, him and I have been playing baseball together. Oh, geez, man, we went to like a little league, not the Little League World Series. We were like in that thing where we were going to it. We got to travel all the way up to Pennsylvania or somewhere, a bunch of 10-year-olds and, you know, and playing baseball, you know, traveling. And LD, it's quite the inspirational individual, first off, but he's great. I'm so happy to.
And Eric's internet is terrible again.
Can I just address one thing in the chat, because I did not expect to see this in the chat.
Sure.
But FFS, I wonder what that stands for, has mentioned a film. Now, just so you know, there is there is an from 1983. There is an American equivalent called The Day After. There is a British film called Threads from 1984. If you ever see those lists of what is the most horrifying horror film to scare you of all time, there is all of the things you have previously thought of, and then there is Threads. I cannot describe what, no one's made a film like it since. If you do not want to go to sleep tonight, watch Threads. It's basically what the writer was like, what would happen? This is from 1984. What would happen if a nuclear warfare actually did happen? And let's do it like a soap opera. So it starts off like a sort of soap opera, and then half the characters are dead. And then you're like, okay, right, well, how do they survive nuclear holocaust? And then it just gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. And then it all shuts down. Everything's awful, and really, humankind doesn't survive, and it's pretty terrible. And then the credits roll, and you're like, that's the worst thing I've ever seen. And they're thinking of
really... So basically a fun family film for the whole...
So make sure you get your young children and watch that. It includes lots of terrifying things from the time, like the fight, the 4-minute warning, and then like and the actual original like films from the time, which were narrated by a British actor. When the time comes, if your family members are dead, zip them up and lock them inside the house. And that's a real film as well. It's nuts. Right, sorry, I've been completely distracted by Fred. Don't watch it. It's the worst thing you'll ever see. Like I said, I'll derail this. I love being on a PHP podcast and you just letting me talk about Threads because someone mentioned it.
It's fun. Welcome the Weavers to our Discord. We appreciate having you in there. Oh, that is LD, huh?
Yeah, LD made the conversion. So
wow. And welcome to the IT world too.
So you want to hear something funny? When you said, what did you say your role was? Senior
developer advocate.
I'm starting to think there's enough of us in the community where that will refer to the fact that you go to senior citizen homes to find developers who are still out there and can type.
Well, now with when we're onto the subject of Claude and Cursor AI, now okay. Senior developers, I can imagine, like, if I'm a senior developer advocate, then I have to go and find other seniors. So what I'll do is I'll be a contractor, because none of us write code anymore, right? Because Claude will be doing it. You're absolutely right. You got it wrong. You're absolutely right. I did get it wrong. Can you fix this DCO? You've not done it properly. You're absolutely right. I've done it wrong.
So you've been using Claude.
For pointing that out.
You're absolutely right. So what I'll be doing is going to the care homes, and then, like, honestly, this is what's going to happen. Like, we're talking about Threads and the sort of the end of the world, but it'll be slightly different from how it's predicted back in there. It'll be like me saying, like, okay, hands up, who's a Fortran developer? There'll be about three, maybe. Yeah. Who are still alive, and they're like, and I'm like, okay, it'll be like Idiocracy. You're the smartest minds in the room. So come with me. We have to write some Fortran. The AI probably can't help us. Maybe, I don't know.
I was having this conversation with my kid this week, and they brought up AI and what I thought it was doing to our industry. I told him, you know, I was welcoming it with open arms, because I feel like it's people like us who can use it right, and I'm not really worried about that. All the other people who don't know how to code, who think they can build a business with AI doing all their back end and web development. And like I told him, it's like, what's going to happen is that it's going to hit critical mass. Their company will actually start to be successful. Stuff will start to break and nobody will know how to fix it. And then that's where we step in.
I think that's exactly the way it's going to go.
Like, yeah.
Already going that way.
I feel a bit like I'm going to be, I know that you two think I'm going to be sort of, you know, stirring trouble. I'm not stirring trouble. This will be honestly the most, like, you know, anyone from legal can look at this and go, I have no. However, Chris Miller works for you and is watching, so it'll be quite funny. There are two people that tried at one point to own the local tech ecosystem and community where I live. Mm-hmm. And they were sort of, this is going back quite some time, so they were kind of, they were product people, essentially. And a lot of the tech ecosystem of where I am is dominated by product people that can talk about product, but if you said Kubernetes to them, they'd run. You know, they. What's that?
You have a partnership for that exact thing, but you know, that's a different week.
I'm not saying Kubernetes is bad. It's all. Oh, well,
No.
I say it's bad. I don't understand it. Sorry. Anyway, product people. Sorry, product people are important. And the two of them, it didn't work. And it disbanded and everything, and everyone lost interest. And so now, like, it's almost like a sort of a fable of it's like predicting what you've just said, Eric. Right? One of them runs a low code company, and the boasts on LinkedIn are absolutely absurd. We built a CRM in 2 days, and we're making millions of euros. Okay, sure you are. Fine, right, fine. And the other one has started a new meetup, and it's called the War on Code. And it's like, we hate developers. Yeah. Why? Why do you hate developers?
What?
Like, we build your stuff. And they just, the product people, I think, I'm not going to say the product, that's not fair. It's people like this, they want a shortcut to quality production environments and code. And
it's a tool to be used. We have a client right now that their designer is using AI for prototyping, and I think that's a perfect use case for it. Use it for prototyping, but that's not production ready code.
For my job as a developer advocate, I breathe a sigh of relief that I don't have to write production grade code anymore. I did for years. What it is really amazing for is doing what I do now, which is basically prototyping bits of Laravel or Symfony, putting it together with Vonage API stuff, and I get something. I look at the code. Being experienced, I know the code is like, okay, that's not how I'd write it. I'm going to try and refactor it a little bit myself. But I know what I have is demoed. But the scary thing is juniors going out there and thinking that you can just do this and boss it,
yeah,
by doing that.
I'm using it a lot right now because I'm learning. I don't do Python, so I'm learning Python. I'm learning FreeSwitch, learning Lua, and so I'm using the AI tools to help get me to a certain point, knowing that this will never see production. It's prototyping and me taking that time to learn, oh, here's how to use FreeSwitch, and here's how to use Lua within this context. It's a tool, as long as we use it right. It's my problem is with business people that get pissed off at their developers thinking they're going too slow, or not using AI enough, or trying to replace their developers with AI, and that just, it's not going to work.
It's history repeating, though, isn't it, really, with sort of a bit of, maybe, I don't know. Maybe blockchain didn't really, the kind of the blockchain and crypto explosion didn't really have this, I don't think. But it does feel like the kind of the bubble builds. Even somebody has said,
Have you ever been to a crypto blockchain user group meetup?
No.
It's freaking bonkers how many people are there. Nobody knows what they're doing. They're all just kind of, it is absolutely bizarre. You know, there's like four developers and then a bunch of other people who just want to make money off it.
An emerging of two worlds, right? Because maybe that doesn't surprise me, but you know, there's like 100 people at a blockchain meet of a general meetup. Please, cat, go away. Go on, off you go. So I'm reminded of I can't follow it anymore, but in the early days, I used to follow Molly White's Web3 is Going Great blog, because it was fascinating what was coming out. And there's one that's stuck in my head. I can't remember the names or the company or anything like this, but it was an exchange, and the developers, like the implementation, they missed a flag out that was important for the actual signing of the blocks on the blockchain. And because they weren't signed, it meant that nobody could take their money out. So so basically it was like, and there was the money involved was ridiculous. The money was like, probably about $200 million or something like that. And it was basically like you put $200 million into a rocket, jettisoned it into space, and you can all watch it. Because you know it's there, but you can't take any of out because of a programming error, because you can't do any withdrawals.
Yeah.
It's like this is like fantastic Schadenfreude.
All right. So I've got two things that we've talked about in here. One is going to be really quick, so I'll do this one first. Read this on Reddit earlier, and it's the PHP perception at conferences. And this person basically said they were at a conference where 90% of the audience were CTOs and director level people. During a panel, a shocking phrase was said. Some people don't embrace change and are stuck with ancient technologies and ideas such as Perl or PHP. And
see, that's the AI people. I can build my whole company infrastructure with AI guy. That's them right there.
Right.
Okay, and you're going to get...
So their request was, they think that's happening because a lot of CTOs and people that work within the PHP ecosystem, or PHP is their main developer language at their company, they're not going to these conferences.
Right.
So it makes it seem like PHP is an ancient technology when we all know it's not.
Yeah, the CTOs at this conference, these are the ones that are, you know, think the value of their company is based on how big their nodes module directory is. You know, it's just like, it's incredibly, it's surprising how many CTOs have no tech experience or understanding. And they just read about something and feel like they can come in and be experts on it because they have CTO in there.
Or the CTOs are doing something smart and they're coming to PHP Tech where they're going to learn stuff that will make their company better, not
That's it. I dare every CTO out there who thinks PHP is done, I dare you to go to PHP Tech next year. I dare you. Perfect. Bring your whole company.
CTO doesn't mean anything, but I will give you a sort of like partial bit of the story, because the story is not complete, and therefore I can't tell you the rest of the story until it happens. But what I will say is that one of the problems that we face within PHP itself is that we're extremely good at shouting about the innovations that are happening within our own community and ecosystems. Mm-hmm. And that occasionally involves other people. Like, for instance, in the Laravel community, you know, with Vue.js, Vue.js is sort of a default kind of partnership. So even Sims kind of gets it, and he spoke at the last Laracon in the US. There's crossover, but sometimes not. And I guess in the origin days of Laravel, probably crossover with Rails. Let's not mention Rails right now. That's a bit of a hot topic. But I would have thought with Symfony, you know, there's a lot of inheritance and patterns and things from Spring Boot and Java and Django, but I don't really think there's been much exchange of ideas outside of that. What has not happened, and bearing in mind we have the PHP Foundation now, and you know, there are reasons why that exists because of the bus factor and all that, is no one has done developer relations from a perspective of showing off the innovation within the PHP space externally outside of what we do at the big conferences. I'm thinking sort of Dreamforce and We Are Developers and GitHub Universe and things like that. I mean, somebody might have put themselves forward to do that exact role. I don't know. I can't imagine who it would be, but that is what the space, that's what, as a community, we've been lacking to stop what you've just described, which is, we're beyond the old fashioned. Do you know what? They can't, these CTOs that are out of touch, they can't even reference the article. You know, the article, the double claw one, that one. What's it? A Fractal of Bad Design.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
yeah. The original author took it off. So it's now, you can find it, but it's
reprinted. You have to look, yeah.
So if people, are you gonna like I can do another bit of this depending on if you want me to speak or not. I'm gonna get to give you a breath of because I'm taking over your podcast and I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought you were thinking like if we ever want you to speak at tech again or something. I'm like, all right, what the hell is this guy about to say?
No, as in like there's more. So. Okay, that means you're not stopping me. So I'm gonna do it anyway. One of my colleagues was there mainly to put up with me last week, API Platform Conference, and he was there to take photos to make me look good. And I'm really disappointed about how from the front that looks okay, and when you get photos and like I'm talking to like Fabien Portentier, and there's like, oh, here's with the founder of Symphony. And this, look at this. I don't see this every day. This is grey. This is grey. I hate it. It's really grey. And no grey hairs before having...
What is happening right now? This is all we're seeing. Now look at it. Look right here. Look at it.
Eric, you've seen me talk, right? This is just... For anyone else watching,
he's talking about as you turned around, you went off camera.
I'm sorry, if anyone doesn't think this, like, you know, I'm authentic when I'm on stage. I'm genuinely like this. My colleague is a .NET developer, right? So he's watching my talk, and my talk is specifically about HAL and Hatios and about how. It's not really HAL and Hatios in API design is not really going away, and you'll still encounter it. And actually, it's still not a bad design pattern, really, considering that GraphQL is, I think, crap. Because well, it depends, doesn't it? It's good in some circumstances, but not in other ways. But
I think the concept is very good. I like the concept of GraphQL.
I think GraphQL in the way it's kind of designed is, yeah, there's ways I think that make it like a really good like application for it. But anyway, so the talk is implementing HAL and Hatios with an API platform. So my starting building blocks is a Laravel app where I add the API resource tag. The attribute, it's a like Symfony style attribute to a Laravel Eloquent ROM, and it exposes, and then you can configure your models as the API. The API is built for you, and I just don't think that as internally within PHP, to us, API platform has been around for 10 years. I don't think anyone knows the power that is. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely mental. I was doing it and going, right, okay, so I can filter here are my transformers. Here's what I don't want to come out the API. This is like, the API is really like what you do on the model. It interprets the model and then and outputs it. So if I want to do a whole front end in React or Vue or something like that, I could just configure my Laravel models or my Symfony models. It works with it. Obviously, it came from Symfony originally. And you add one tag and then configure it.
Yep.
No, nothing like this exists elsewhere. Nothing. You can't say that about anything else. Like Livewire in Laravel is amazing. Lots of the stuff that comes from Symfony UX is amazing. But they come from, they inherit and they share things like LiveWire is inherited from sort of Hotwire, which came from Rails.
Right.
API platforms implementation, it doesn't exist anywhere else. And so my whole thing about this is like, I have to go to not PHP conferences and say, do you understand how unbelievable PHP is to code in right now? Because it is. Yep. It's nuts. And we're not even got into Franken PHP and all that kind of crap, you know.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to do two things. One, Eric, I don't know if you're reading in chat, but our good friend Chris Miller, PHP Architect employee, is starting a new column in the PHP magazine on machine learning and PHP.
This is news to me.
It's so he says that, and then he's offering to jump on a call with somebody else in Discord, a new Discord member, Emrons. To talk more about machine learning.
Yo, Emrons.
So that was news to me. Bringing it back to the PHP magazine. Go to phparch.com to get a subscription. And I didn't have it ready. Damn it. Where's that?
Reliably told internally from my team at Vonage that an article now is on the way for the magazine.
Awesome.
Coming soon. That is with Laravel and LiveWire and RCS. Yeah, that's going to happen.
I mean, we still have yours in the pipeline. We're waiting to hear from.
Waiting for your okay to publish it.
What I mean is, it's looking, for legal reasons, I can't say it's all done. What I mean is, there's an exciting article coming to PHP Architect, which now looks like it's all good and like. It's
oh, okay. Good. All right.
So if you don't know about our magazine, PHP Magazine, go to phparch.com. You can get a subscription for $1.99 a month for the first year. Using code podcast-3. That's dash three means $3 off. It's normally $4.99 a month. For the first year, it'll be $1.99 for you.
How long is that good for?
Oh, well, go use that now before I realize we did that for 10 years. I did 120 months instead of 12 months. Whoops.
This is so, a true story that's happened. So
yep. So go use that now. I wanted to point out the magazine because there are a couple new people in our Discord. Wasn't sure if they knew about that, and it was talked about. We were talking a lot about AI, and somebody shared a 2025 DORA State of AI Assisted Software survey, and I downloaded it. You got to fill out the form to actually get it to download, but there were a couple of pieces that jumped out at me. And before the show, I asked Eric if he was doing a roundtable, and he has an upcoming PHP roundtable podcast all around AI. I don't know when that's going to be coming out, but excited about that. So I don't want to go into too much depth in case he wants to use some of this content within that podcast. But some of the things that stood out were, how long does it take to get changes out into the world? So the survey question is, what is your lead time for changes? That is, how long does it take to go from code committed to code successfully running in production? What is it for you two?
Code committed to code successfully running in production? Greenfield or like a legacy thing?
It doesn't say. I've committed code. I've opened a PR. How long is it going to take to get it into production?
How does this relate to the context of AI?
This whole thing, the whole thing is about AI, so I'm not exactly sure how just figuring out who the developers are in that case.
Yeah, I would say in general a week or two, depending on again, the size of the code base and how many developers working on it.
Yeah, so I was shocked that 2% of the people that responded said it took more than 6 months to get that into production.
I can tell you who works in the enterprise.
What that percentage tells you is it gives you a slight insight into the developer landscape and Eric already just said the magic word is enterprise.
Yeah.
To ship it, I've worked from startup to small agency to large agency to enterprise. And yeah, sure. The beauty of startup is you ship all the time, and the barriers are low. You break things quickly. What I think is ironic is seeing sort of statements from mission statements that I know about from my friends at large companies that you will all know, that I will not name because I can't get myself into trouble, where they keep on saying their mission statements are to, like, for engineering teams, the same thing, which is to ship fast and break fast and then iterate quickly. That doesn't happen. That's absolute nonsense. And they want to do it because it's the thought leadership of it, but enterprise, getting like anything into production is like a sort of this long slog. And so that
I am so happy. I've never worked in enterprise, and I think I'm happy about that.
I've never had any nightmares with them.
Yeah,
you get the kind of because I'm working now in my job. I'm working in enterprise as developer relations. I get to do my job freely because it's very sort of, I don't know, the outreach and stuff is my bread and butter, and it's what I do, and so I have no blockers for that. But we are also the glue with all the rest of the company of product and engineering and things like that. I don't tend to get too bogged down in that. And what I mean is, for the purpose of this podcast, is I definitely don't have to do it all the time.
Well,
then you have to trade off the cog being in the machine, and there's protections that come with that. So that's how it should work in theory, because my wife works in a big company like this as well, which is the whole point of being a cog in a big machine is you can't ship it. Why can't you ship it? The answer is because here are several blockers, and it's up to middle management to unblock them. Is it your problem? Do you care? I don't know.
I often find I care if I've taken time to write something that I'm proud of, and then it takes a long time to get out, and get frustrated that it's like, but I spent time on it. I got paid for it, so I shouldn't care. But at the same time, I care. Like,
yeah,
I want to see the benefits of it.
The whole sort of magic of being a software developer, I think, is the ability to see the code comes up, people talk about it, you press the button, and so magically, you have just sort of created software, and it's there on the internet.
So we, like I said, 2% were more than 6 months. 25% was less than 1 day. So,
Jesus,
commit a PR. 10% were 10% were less than an hour, and then 15% were less than a day.
Where are these people working? I mean, jeez.
There was a question of how frequently do you deploy, and it was fewer than once per 6 months. Obviously, that's going to be your enterprise people that take 6 months to get code out the door. But again, 23% where they deploy once per hour to once per day.
When it's enterprise, also for quick deploys, when it's enterprise, it's the kind of federation, like a bit like AWS, where you can't say how quickly did AWS deploy, because it depends what business unit you're talking about, because there's hundreds, there's hundreds of them scattered all over the place. And I think that we do get bogged down in a lot of doctrine about it's DevOps doctrine at the end of the day, isn't it? And all this is DevOps doctrine as a talking point, continually arguing with ourselves, and it's really the agile kind of. The agile debates going over and over of, like, you know, what's the best way? I suppose, you know, I'm not going to moan about it, because we do need to discuss how we do things. And you could say it's a good thing that you deploy every, you know, what is it with Google, every 3 seconds on every product. Sure. But how do you put in the process to be able to do that?
Yeah.
I do think the regular, I, I, my worst nightmare is a month old branch. I can't stand it.
John, what's your record?
We don't want to talk about that. All my old ones have finally been merged and or closed. But for a long time, the running joke was, at one of our clients, I had the longest open PR, and it was over 2 years old because they just didn't want to merge it. No reason why, they just didn't merge it.
Okay. Well,
but I often had some that were months old.
How long was the generics fork in C been opened for PHP?
Oh yeah, that's true.
We won't get. What I will say this year when I went to PHP Day in Verona in northern Italy is I was at lunchtime. I was with Gina Banyard, who one of the core devs.
That's who the thing is. Yeah,
they're gonna be on Alive and Kicking next Tuesday live.
Oh, okay, right, yeah,
that'll
be
their first live stream. So next week, if you guys are around Tuesday at 12 o'clock Pacific time, there'll be a live stream of Alive and Kicking.
Okay,
yeah.
Gina is a colorful character that is full of fun and definitely worth watching.
And I guess has already made the announcement that they will not be coming to the US for PHP Tech.
Sorry, where are you at with that? I'm not going to put you on the spot, but where are you guys with that?
I can't do it. I have a wife and a child. I can't travel to a country where it's unpredictable what they're going to do at the border. That's my problem.
We understand.
I'm not going to get too political without stating. I don't even necessarily think it's political anymore. It's just like, if stuff's unpredictable, I can't do it. Which is interesting, because I look at the lineup for, some people that are going to Tech and some people are going to Longhorn in Austin. And I'm like,
you can actually go to both. We allow that.
Okay. You know, and I can't risk that. I can't randomly back. If I've said 3 years ago on a social media platform that I don't use that I think that an old president of the United States of America smells like poo because he wears nappies, and someone finds that at the border, and then I get put into prison for 3 weeks and then said, but I have a son at home. I can't do that.
There was a lot of concern before this year's Tech, and there was zero issues. But I also understand things change drastically and quickly. And
it is that, because
changes the degree.
Because I spoke to Chris. So as you know, for anyone that doesn't know, listen to the podcast, Chris Miller, who's moderating at the moment. He does. Unfortunately for me, he lives where I live.
So oh, really?
I mean
the same country or the same like local area?
No, here, like in Birmingham.
Okay.
Yeah, like, he's around the corner. He's actually got my Tech elephant. We need to go into the city and I need to get my Tech elephant. Oscar is the name of the Tech elephant, right?
Tony.
Yeah, I need one to
get of them. Oscar last year, Tony this year.
Oh, so,
this guy's Tony.
It's the new one.
Yeah. He's got a baseball hat on.
Oh, okay, it's the new one. It's sad. I genuinely a point at my career where I feel like I can have a big impact for the PHP community in general, and like I can't travel over to the US at the moment. So it's sad for me, but there you go.
All right.
Okay.
We're going to move off of that topic because it's sad. It makes me want to cry.
Yeah, it's sad time.
So you shared something with us before the podcast. Are you allowed to talk about that? We're talking about elephants and stuffed toys and... No, what you're not allowed to talk about that?
Am I?
A different version of the elephant?
A different version?
A sim...
Totally? Sounds like symphony would be.
Oh, okay. Yes, no, I'm allowed. No, that's a. So that's sorry. Guys are like, please, Jim, you're the guest. You said this thing. Do you remember saying this thing? So, I like what what Symphony have done this year. Because bear in mind, there are three Symphony elephants, I think. I have my second or third PHP conference was a Symphony con. And it kind of blew my mind because I was a junior developer and I didn't know what I was doing. I suppose that sounds kind of arrogant because I still don't really know what I'm doing. Fabian Potencier's keynote at API Platform Conference, he's the creator of Symphony, was about LLMs, and we got onto AI, and it was absolutely mind-blowing from a developer experience perspective of, we have to write APIs with basically LLM documentation. It's totally nuts. Anyway, I digress a bit. I did give Fabian a Vonage PHP elephant. He did not look impressed. I think he was annoyed because he doesn't like them and he doesn't want any more, but I had to do it. Because he doesn't like them.
Isn't he making a killing off of
them? I mean, like, I had to give Taylor one, and Taylor's like, sure. And there you go. And Taylor's like, great, you know, another one, whatever. But Taylor was like gracious with it. And also, Taylor gave me my two Laravel elephants. So I was like, I've got, you know, Taylor Otwell gave me my two Laravel elephants. I like that story. I will use that at some point when having drinks with people. But Symphony have made now like three or four or something like that. So this year, they decided to not make an elephant, and they've coined a new phrase. And I'm going to try not to swear. I love it.
We don't care about swearing.
I know, but anyone corporate's going to watch it. But anyway, right. It is. It's not an elephant. It is the Sim Pony. There you go.
Are you sure that's not a mule and they didn't just give it to you because they think you're an ass?
Hold on a minute.
That did not land as well as I thought it would. God damn. I thought it was a dunk.
When you introduced me on this podcast, I said I was the one that studied stand-up comedy and did a dissertation in it, right? If you're not going to land it, I can't help you, okay? I liked where it was going with an ass, though. Yeah, so anyway, this is the Symphony. This is the Symphony. There you go.
Symphony.
The Symphony. There you go.
So when you first brought it up, I forgot Vincent's role. And I was going to say, oh, that's because they just didn't want to pay the licensing fee to Vincent for elephant.
I don't think it's that. I'm not going to get onto the traditional licensing role where PHP UK screwed up. Did I say that? I didn't say that. Something to do with Alibaba or something like that. But anyway, I think they just decided to do something different. And I really, really like it. And also, for API Platform Conference, for the speakers, they printed the boxes and everything. The Franken PHP thing came in a box. It was the best speaking gift I think I've ever got, apart from PHP Tech.
we didn't do custom boxes. Damn it, that's where we screwed up, Eric.
But the scene, what's interesting is the PHP developer scene there of like Symphony is just like the dominant ecosystem within France and Belgium and the Netherlands is, but Germany as well. So getting back into Symphony was, and speaking to the Symphony core team and stuff was really, really, really cool because the listeners won't know, but as you know, like predominantly everything I do is Laravel. But that's only really because my previous jobs, and I work for Jump24. Shout out to Jump24 in Birmingham as one of the big Laravel partners. That was where I genuinely learned to make quality software, and so it's interesting seeing the layout of the PHP scene where sort of Symphony is dominant, but there's a lot of collaboration going on at the moment, and a lot of kind of really interesting conversations happening between Laravel and Symfony devs on the ground. At both conferences I've been to this year, which is really cool. You can stop me from talking now. Maybe you should just like signal.
I keep telling John, I'm super envious of the community over there, the UK and the EU, like Amsterdam. Everybody I talk to, like they say they go to user groups in Amsterdam and there's like, you know, 100 people. I might be exaggerating, but like the community just sounds so much more vibrant. The in-person community sounds so much more vibrant. And we keep talking about, like, we've got to get over there, at least to a conference. We got to get over to one of the conferences and experience for ourselves.
There are sort of big in-depth differences I can go through. I mean, like, you said we don't have a hard stop, so unfortunately Jim's gonna keep on talking. It does give me a chance to plug Vonage a little bit, which is so I don't know if either of you know that Vonage is in official partnership with Laravel.
Not with us. Oh, with Laravel. Yeah, because I mean, I would have known if they were part of our partner program.
I'm working on it. Just give me time. with Laravel. So we have a community partnership where Vonage is funding effectively the PHP versus, like, six. There's a website for it, right? Can you bring it up?
What?
PHP Times PX World? Something. PX yeah, World? It's
PHP X.
Yes. Yeah. So
the new user group meetup stuff.
Yes, but that's mainly kind of driven by individuals in the US scene. And for Vonage itself, obviously the US market. We're an American company, but the US is one of our, you know, main territories of business. So it kind of made sense. So a lot. That's it. Mm-hmm. So what Vonage are doing is we're sponsoring as many US meetups as possible now across the entire.
Well, if you need one to help, there's one here in San Diego that might appreciate your help. I hear that the people running it are jerks, but you know, it's
okay. This is not a podcast subject. This is a DM subject. He's like, why don't you know about this, John? Anyway, so it was only kind of announced at Laracon. So, and we're only sort of finalizing it, but really effectively we're amplifying the PHP local scene in the US. And I guess you have, it's geography in the US, isn't it? Where it's just, you just have such a vast country whereas sort of Europe is so condensed. So one of the things that was noticeable, I will say, is that post-COVID, the rebooting up of the PHP space within Europe has been quick. And there are, I think it was the year before last. I spoke at three user groups in Germany just for my job. I went to the Frankfurt one, and there was probably about 70 people there. I spoke at Dresden, which was probably about another 60 people there. And I spoke in Stoke-on-Trent, but that's mainly because James Brooks works there for Laravel Core. I'm joking, because I did do that, but Stoke-on-Trent is... don't go on holiday there.
Walk into?
But the PHP meetup space, especially like the Francophone scene in France, where, you know, it's predominantly French in Paris and Marseille and like the Lyon, they're heavily attended. And in Germany, you've got the Hamburg and Frankfurt and then conferences wise, you've got Dutch PHP.
Oh no, is this me or you? Oh, it's not me this time.
It's not you this time.
All right.
Okay.
He's back. Oh, he might not know he's back. Can he's you hear back. Us?
What? Yeah. Did I cut out?
Yeah. Harper's. Oh,
that must be ridiculous because obviously I talk too much. So, where was I? Chris is telling me to shout out the conference that both of us are speaking at, which I don't really know how it's going to work on a PHP conference, a PHP podcast. We're speaking at Tech Mids, which is a conference in Birmingham. The speaker lineup is pretty sick, I must say. Not because I want it. I mean the other people that they've selected. There's some for in the general developer relations speak for PHP peeps. There are a couple of people. We have one of the standout ones for me is she's kind of.
He's done. He's like, I'm out of here.
He's out. He's peaced out.
It is late over there. I think they turn their internet off in the UK at like midnight, right?
He has a word limit. He's spoken all the words he can speak. So we're at a point where we need to wrap up anyways. I think we should give him a minute or two to join and maybe just wrap up.
Yeah, sounds good.
What's up?
Decided to go look at Tech Mids and kind of go through their lineup. I was curious.
What is it? It's TECH dot what?
Yep. It's just TECHMIDS.org.
M-I-D-S.
And the conference is, it's conf.techmids.org. I'll put it in the show notes. Why not? Oh,
great. Why you're not? Back.
It's because I was talking to both of you about this earlier. It's because I didn't turn off my Wi-Fi, and my Wi-Fi is just over there, but my laptop's like no Wi-Fi. Don't like the Wi-Fi. So I had to run upstairs before this episode started to get the Ethernet cable with the power the Ethernet over the power cables.
Yeah,
I had to do that, but it cut out because.
Because you're still connected.
I moved my office, and ever since then, you've seen how many times I've dropped off. I'm fighting internet connection issues in this new office like crazy.
Anyway, that's the. Did I cut out before I was talking about Salma?
Yes, you did.
Okay, yeah. So there's a couple of people so if you go up, Stuart Langridge is basically my hero. He's from the old sort of Ubuntu and Canonical scene in the early days with people like John O. Bacon, who sort of defined the real sort of serious operating system open source stuff. That he won't. Hopefully, he won't know I'm saying this on a podcast, but he's just awesome. The closing keynote is from Salma Alam Naylor, who used to be a music teacher, and she's kind of like. She's so entertaining and so bizarre. That's me. I'm talking on CLIs.
You're literally wearing that same hoodie. Do you have other clothes?
No. My wife does complain about it because I sort of just what are my socks? Oh no, I don't have corporate socks on. Normally I have corporate socks on. There's whoever that is, maybe that'll be good. I don't know. Who knows? So this is the local scene in Birmingham. We're famous for, you know, Cadbury's chocolate and the music genre of heavy metal, if you've ever heard of it.
Really?
Yes, that's true. Well, if you know, one of the things that was genuinely tear-jerking was it took a lot of planning, but at a venue, the venue is Villa Park, which is... happens to be the football ground where my football team play. And that's, or they've always been my football team. When I say football, I mean obviously sports played with your feet, not with your hands. So you know that joke. So Black Sabbath got back together for their final gig. So Ozzy managed to fly to Birmingham and they did it. And they raised about £200,000 that all went to Parkinson's for charity. Mm. It was effectively a giant send-off. The lineup was nuts. They had like Metallica and Pantera, and it was a full metal lineup of the top people in metal. I don't even listen to metal that much. And they did that, and then 2 weeks later, Ozzy passed away. And so he had a massive kind of funeral in Birmingham, and it was like Ozzy was building up all of the last of his life energy just to do that, and then he was like, okay, I'm done. It was crazy. He's like, I've done my thing now, and that particular concert, and it's like a Birmingham band coming back to do their final gig, to do Ozzy's final gig at the football ground at the football team that I support. It was all a bit, you know, I got a bit tear jerky.
Say hi to Sarah. Sarah just realized you're on the podcast.
He can't hear us now. He got so sad that he pulled the plug.
I got very animated and I didn't want to hear you anymore.
I don't blame you.
I said, say hi to Sarah. Sarah just realized you're on the podcast. It's the only reason she's watching right now.
Oh, Goldman.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello. I had a lot of fun with Sarah at PHP Day in Verona, but also apologies because she had obviously to put up with me. So, you know, and I feel sorry for. It was Niles, really. Niles, like, from Packagist, I don't know. He was smiling, and I think he was dealing with it okay, but I was sort of just talking and extracting information out of him. And oh, thank you. In that case, oh, I want to say something, and I realize for political reasons I can't. Can I send you, Sarah, can I send you a message on Discord about something, and then can you respond?
I don't. We are going to have to wrap this up because I actually have to take my son to drum lessons.
Cool.
Yeah. My wife just let me know she got stuck doing something and can't take him. So she's like, "Are you done yet?" Because normally this is about the time.
All right, Jim. Thanks for hanging out with us, man. It was a lot of fun. And I'm hopeful we will run into each other in real life again at some point. But
when the stuff over here stops being stupid,
or when we finally get over there,
like I said, it is very the European scene is very vibrant. It's kind of building, and it's probably Symphony's advantage at the moment because obviously they're. If you're going to simplify things, then your Symphony, because obviously Sensio Labs and coming from Paris originally, and Laravel's obviously dominant in the US. But then, regardless of the markets like India and things like that, where it's we've spoken about this at Tech, right? But the generalist scene of things like. Kind of Dutch PHP conference and IPC and PHP UK, and there's more, the one in Poland as well. There's one in Krakow, I think. PHPCA. Let's not talk about PHPCA. That's a bit of a hot potato. There are a lot of the European kind of and the ones in Italy that GRUSP run, because GRUSP runs several of them. It's very vibrant. It's the attendance is high. And it's cool being part of that. And it's disappointing that I can't come over to the US because I can't risk it. But yeah, come over. And then I hope you get back in. I feel really bad saying this. Sorry.
No worries.
You have to basically in the face of very hard times, you basically have to laugh at it because you've got no option to. That's how I'll phrase it.
Yeah. All right. Let's, on that note, I'm sorry that we won't see you. We'll make it happen at some point. Oh, and Eric's not here to end the show. So, Jim, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thanks, and guys. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And thank you, everyone in Discord. And we will see you all soon. If I could figure out where the buttons are now, because Eric normally does this. And now I'm
I'm here. What are we doing? Are we signing off?
I'm trying to find the buttons to
the buttons it. Made the edit. I love it.
Okay. That. All right. Thanks everybody for hanging out with us. See you next week.
Bye. This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.